And I hope you'll be gentle with me tonight. Can we turn, please, to Hebrews in chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start to read it, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, To do thy will, O my God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated it for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just commit it to him in prayer. Blessed God and Father, we thank thee again tonight that we are able to come to this place and to open thy word and to read it. We pray this evening, our God, that you will give us an understanding of it, that we will have boldness to come before thee, our God and Father, and an assurance of our faith, and we might realize again that the one that died upon that center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, took away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. We pray thy blessing, our God and Father, wherever thy word is preached tonight, that you will bless it. We know that there are many, many churches and chapels throughout this land are just starting back up today, and we pray that you will bless them, that thy word will run, have free course, and be glorified, and that souls will be saved, and that every one of us, our God, will be exhorted by thy precious word. So we ask thy blessing upon us now. And all those who are not with us, our God and Father, the 50% of the church who is not here tonight, we pray that there will be those that are watching online, and we pray that you will give them a blessing too. Bless Pastor and Joe as they are away, our God and Father, and any others who are on a holiday, that you will be with them and bless them and bring them back to us safely again. So we commit ourselves into thy hand, asking thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we've had a lovely day this morning, haven't we? The singing this morning was wonderful. The message, and the message fits in a little bit with what we're talking about tonight. And the hymn that Ricey sang especially, Behold the Man Upon the Tree, or Behold the Man Upon the Cross. And if we do nothing else tonight but behold the man upon the cross, if we do nothing else today but look at the one who died at Calvary, it will have been a worthwhile day. And Mark prayed, and he made reference to this particular chapter when he prayed, verse 19 down there, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. And there is no other way to come to God other than by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what this chapter is telling us, that this man, after he made one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And he is our advocate tonight with the Father. Whatever difficulties and problems that we have, we must come to God through him. He is the only advocate, for there is only one mediator between God and men, himself man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I know that this is a particularly Jewish book, written to the Jewish Christians of the day, written in about AD 64, just before the fall of the temple. But I'm looking at it today from our point of view and the application of it. From our point of view, because it applies to us, although much of it is written about a past economy, about the sacrificial system, and about the Jews, it also applies to us because we have a sacrifice, and he is the one who sits at the right hand of God. Look at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And we know that back in the Old Testament, we know that sacrifices were made. Blood sacrifices. Animals were slain on the altar. And the high priest and the priest were there in the temple. And that was the only way of getting right with God in that day. But we, as we come together in Bethany tonight, thousands of years later, we can come through the one who died and gave himself upon the cross of Calvary, a better sacrifice than the previous sacrifices. When we look at the book of Hebrews, primarily it shows us the surpassing glory of the Christian faith when compared to the Old Testament law and the sacrifices. But it centers completely upon the superiority of Christ and his work upon the cross. And previously we've looked at the number of times that the word better is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. I think it's 13 times. But tonight, we just want to look at that one, better. And it's a better covenant than that we have with God through Christ. So in this first verse, we see that sacrifices were made year by year continually, and yet it never made the person perfect. And we'll see later on that the sacrifice that we have makes us perfect before God. Verse 2 says, for then would those sacrifices not have ceased to be offered. Now the sacrificial system has ended. It was coming to an end. 4 years later, when the temple was no longer there, sacrifices could no longer be made because they could only be made in the temple. So this is written about AD 64, 65, 66, maybe somewhere around there, and before the temple was destroyed. But he says here in this verse, they would not have ceased to be offered. If sacrifices were still efficacious today, they would still be being offered today. But they're not, and they aren't. Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But even after making a sacrifice for sin on that yearly basis, men and women were not perfect and they still had a conscience of sin. Now, we should have a conscience of sin, but we should also know that all our sins have been forgiven, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. And Israel had no conscience of that, because they only knew that their sins up to that point in time had been dealt with. And I think I've used the analogy before, and it's the same as when you take an old car for an MOT and you're sweating for the weeks coming up to it. You've all been there in times past. Maybe now you all got new cars, so it doesn't make any difference. And you've got to take it for the MOT, and you're thinking, oh, I know it needs this and I know it needs that, but can we get away with it? And we take it to the MOT station, and we have the MOT, and the certificate is there, nice and clean, and we put it somewhere safe, don't we? We don't want to lose that certificate. But the point is about that certificate. It's there, and it's valid for a year. But really, it only tells you what that car is like on that one day and at that one inspection. And that's where the children of Israel stood when they went before God and they offered sacrifices for sins. They were okay for that point in time. Their sin was covered in the past, but their future sin and their present sin was not covered. And that's where they stood. But praise God tonight that we are covered, not just for the past, not just for the present, not just for the future, but for all eternity. And that's where we stand before God tonight in this book of Hebrews. Verse 3 says, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins, year by year, continually. And it had to be made, and if it wasn't made, their sins were not covered. Verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And that's a definitive statement. The blood of animals could not take away sins. All it could do was cover them for a season. And there's a hymn that says, not all the blood of bulls on Jewish altars slain could give my guilty conscience peace, nor wash away one stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all my sins away, a sacrifice of richer blood and nobler name than they. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that's where we stand. Wherefore, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And this is Jesus speaking prophetically from Psalm 40. And we'll look at that a little later on. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. This is Jesus himself talking to his Father God. And he's telling him, in sacrifice and offerings, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And that's why he came, to do the will of God. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We need no further sanctification. We might need more holiness within ourselves. We might need more righteousness. But when we are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, we are fully sanctified, set apart for the Master's use, set apart for God, sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it's interesting, if you turn to the book of Jude very quickly, I want to flick through a few verses. We're not only sanctified, as it says there, sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. We are sanctified in three other ways. And if you turn to Jude, I suggest you turn to chapter 1 verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So we are sanctified not only by Jesus Christ, but we are sanctified by God the Father. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 2. Verse 2. And to the church of God, Paul is writing here, and he's writing to the church at Corinth, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So we're sanctified in Jesus Christ. We're sanctified in Christ Jesus. We're also sanctified in God. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And a further reading in reference to that little reading in Jude. And that is 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Sanctification of the Spirit. And finally, in John 17, and verse 7, I believe it is. I'm not sure whether the sprinkling there refers to what Andrew was speaking about this morning. It possibly does, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But we are going to look at that verse a couple of times, I think. So it's John 17. Verse 17. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And there we have a fourfold sanctification. Through the word of truth, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through God himself, and through the Spirit. So God has blessed us, hasn't he? And he set us apart. And he set us apart for a reason. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 11 says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." A definitive statement. But look at verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Behold, the man upon the tree. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." And we know that there is coming a day. This chapter doesn't only look back. It doesn't only look at the present, but it looks at the future. And it looks at a future when this world will be judged in righteousness. And it will be judged by that man who hung up on that cross. So it's looking forward as well. 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So we're not only sanctified, we are perfected. Now go back to verse 1. And it says there at the end of the verse, "It can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." So, under the old sacrificial system, there was no way that anybody was made perfect. But because this man suffered as a sacrifice for sin forever, verse 14 tells us, "For by one offering he hath perfected all those forever, those that are sanctified." That's you and me and everyone who has trusted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in the blood that was shed at that place called Calvary. We are perfected. Do we feel perfect? Some probably do, but most of us, I would suggest, we know our failings, we know our difficulties, we know that Very often we're not in the right place that we should be, and we're not right with God. But we are forever perfected. What does the hymn writer say? Clothed in his righteousness divine, faultless to stand before the throne. And we have been made faultless tonight by the blood of Jesus and by his sacrifice at the place called Calvary. Verse 15 says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And I know that this probably applies more to Israel than it does to us, and more to Israel in those latter days. But listen to this verse here. He says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember them no more. And that's what will happen to the remnant in those last days. Their sins and iniquities will I remember them no more. But that also applies to us. We've got a God who has chosen to remember our sins and iniquities no more. He hasn't forgotten them. He hasn't forgotten them, but he's chosen not to remember them. What a gracious God it is with whom we have to do. And he says in verse 18, now where remission of these is, that is sins, there is no more offering required for sin. There is no more offerings for sin. The sacrifice is all, one of the hymn writers says. The sacrifice is all. It's gone. It's in the past. And the sacrifice was 2,000 years ago at Calvary's cross. No more offering for sin. And then the verse that Mark quoted in prayer. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all, the holy place, the place where only the great high priest could go, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So he provided the access into God's presence by his sacrifice at Calvary. Go back to chapter 9, and verse 14. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Do you see the result of this new covenant, of this new testament? We have an eternal inheritance, and it's an inheritance that guarantees us a future in heaven, a future with the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever he is, that there we may be also. Verse 21 says of our chapter, and having a high priest over the house of God, a great high priest over the house of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words of encouragement in verse 22. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And we have drawn near tonight with a true heart and a full assurance of our faith. There might be times in the last few months when our faith has been lacking, but God has said to us through his word, draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. Where is our faith tonight? Is it on the floor? Is it half full? Or are we filled up with the faith that God has given us? God has blessed us abundantly. He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. The children's chorus says, doesn't it? There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and all may go in. All means all. And that's all that all means. All may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And there's no other way, and there's no other method of salvation other than the one that God has provided for us. And he says in verse 22 again, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we are sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, I don't know enough about that verse, but I'm sure it has something to do with what Andrew was talking about this morning. But maybe not. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The profession of our faith. To hold it fast, grab hold of it, keep close to God, keep close to his word, and our faith will increase. Says in brackets there, for he is faithful that promised, and he has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that's what we should be doing, isn't it? Provoking each other unto love. Provoke, we tend to look at the word provoke as being a word like having a dig at John, or John having a dig at somebody else, provoking. But that's not what it means in this situation. It means to provoke, to help people along, and to speak to them, and give them, and help them with the scriptures, and to bounce basically scriptures off each other, so that we are constantly in the presence of God, and constantly in prayer. Let us consider one another, provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's a great verse. It's often quoted. But over the last few months, we haven't had any choice in the matter. We haven't been here. And we haven't been able to be here for legitimate reasons. And yet God knows all about that. But we've had other methods of communication, other methods of contact. And the gospel has still been preached. And many more people, I believe, have heard the gospel because of those methods. And if we continue with the methods that we've got and with the gathering of ourselves together, I'm sure that we'll probably be moving in the right direction. So, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, exhorting each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Well, he could be talking about the tribulation coming. He could be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ returning for his saints, those sanctified ones that we read of earlier. He could be talking about Christ coming to this world in judgment. He could be talking about all three of those things. But for us tonight, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to return. And all these difficulties and problems that we have at this present moment in time, the state that this world is in, will all become irrelevant, because we will be with him and we will be like him for all eternity. And he alludes to this at the end of the chapter. We didn't read it. So exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. And then there's a verse there, and it's a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to the air for all those who believe, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I said we were going to move over to Psalm 40, and Psalm 40 has a lot to do with this chapter 10 of Hebrews. So if you turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 40. Very briefly. Listen to these words. Reading from verse 1. It's a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifices and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And that's the quotes that we read in Hebrews 10. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward for their shame, that say unto me, Aha, aha, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And that's again a reference to that verse, that he will not tarry. He's on his way. He's coming back. He's coming soon. He's coming soon, we sing. And he is. He's coming soon. To anybody with an eye to see, they can see that. But just look at a few verses in Psalm chapter 40. Is that you? Is that me? Verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he has set my feet upon a rock. That rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who made himself a sacrifice for sin, that one who could say, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. So we are set upon the rock, Christ Jesus. He's established our goings. He's put a new song in our mouth, even though we're not allowed to sing it, but he has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Tonight, have we all made the Lord our trust? Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Have we availed ourselves of the sacrifice that he made at that place called Calvary? For it was his blood that was shed that atones for our sin. It's his blood that was shed that makes us right with God. For there is no other way but to trust and obey, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight and to the message. Pray that he will be with us now. I'll just close in prayer and then I'll hand over, because we've got a very good singer singing tonight. Father, we praise thee, our God, that we've been blessed again with thy word. We've been able to look at it and to read it, our God. And every time we look at it, we get something different from it, because it's the living word of God. We pray that by thy spirit tonight, you will speak to us. Help us as we seek to understand the things that are thine, O God. And keep us, Lord, O keep us cleaving to thy word and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys in heaven. We offer our thanks back to thee now. Praise thee for everything you do for us, our God. We are blessed abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. And we thank thee again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
all the way he's joined us this evening, and he was in an mighty way. But whenever goodness and opportunities come our way, we can indeed tell others of the life-changing good news that is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So just bless us now, Lord, as we depart from this place, and until we can all meet again in the coming time, sing gospel praises to them and declare your goodness once more. And I just pray now for all these things, in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay.